Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he spoke, and as he spoke, the Spirit fell upon them. If there is any experience, I'm trusting God for this morning, that the Spirit will fall upon us as we receive. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are life and they are spirit. They are life and they are spirit. Hallelujah. So I'm actually grateful for the life of my son, Pastor Edwin, doing so well. I know in no time, counting one of the great churches in this territory and in this region, this church shall be counted. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, it can't be anything less than mega, even in Jesus' precious name. Why? Because Jesus exalts the place of his word. So I want to appreciate Pastor Edwin for putting this program together. Thank you for putting this program together. Sincerely, I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying everything. I'm enjoying the outings. One of the things I love so much here is the love that emanates from the people. Sylvia, Selassie, Franklin, Jennifer. You guys are somewhere. I mean, you guys are just beautiful. And honestly speaking, from 1 a.m. till 6, I've not been able to sleep. I've just been thinking and just meditating, like how sweet these people are. And I would encourage you to sustain this love. Paul said, I have heard of the fervency of your love in Christ. This one I have come to see. You understand what I'm trying to say? And like I said, the life content in the church has increased, and I think it is good. Just keep being consistent. Believe in what the Lord has handed over to you. That is your calling. The truth is that we go out for evangelism. If you will tell the truth, the people you preach to, they are not the ones that come to the church. Because nobody fills his church with evangelism. We fill the church with the greenness of the pasture. The Bible says, it is he that makes the sheep to lie in the green pasture. So it is God that leads men to the place he has appointed. He said, Abraham, come out of your father's house, to the place where I will show you. So God is the one that shows men where they should be. Then it is God that appointed pastors over men. You understand what I'm trying to say? So it is not about who is popular, who is whatever. No. So you must always believe in the place where you find yourself, that God has placed you there. God has placed you there. And I want you to know, the Lord has brought you here. I want to thank God for the lives of the leadership. Everything you are doing. Look, that is the way you are. That is what you are doing. Just keep it up. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I don't want you to forget that this is not welfare group. Church is not welfare group. I want you to be conscious of the fact that it is the gathering of the people who Jesus paid with his blood for. I want you to always have the mindset that everybody in the church is somebody Jesus loves, and therefore you must love. I want you to always know that this is a place that no matter how you come in, you must not live here the same. So learn to welcome everyone, but pay the price to work on people. Pay the price to do what? Work on people. This is the calling of this commission, that at the end of the day, men will be transformed and become what has been ordained upon their life before they arrive on this earth. So have the heart of Jesus. Have the heart of the Lord. Please, at all times, don't call people to meetings because they have to come to meetings because you want to count numbers. Call them to meetings because you have a revelation why people must be in church. The Bible says they were all together in the upper room. There are certain occurrences that happen. We must be together. They were all together. Every time they were together praying, the number of souls that were added were in bulk. Why? Because there is an anointing in being together. Look at how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like an oil upon. It's a priesthood oil. It's like an oil upon the head of Aaron. That means that the efficacy of the oil is the same like that which is upon Aaron, who, when he had gossiped about Moses and God had to have inflicted leprosy on Miriam and Aaron, Aaron was not affected. Why? Because of the oil upon his life. So most of the times when we are together, there are certain things that can never affect us. The relevance of belonging to a church. I'm doing this here. I wish I had the chance to do it, but he said I shouldn't do it, so I'm going to do something else. But let me talk some more about it. You must belong to a church and be consistent in the church and be part of it. Play a role, find something and do. Be part of it. Because the moment you are part of a church and you are not playing a role, you are like a dead part in the body. You are like a crow on the body. I was seeing me on here. They did it. Jensen Violet. You must look different color. We have to mark you in a certain way. You are a dead cell. You are making Jesus become a disabled person. So Jesus has been walking like this all this while on earth because of you. Because you are the toe and you are not functioning the way you are supposed to function. You must understand how the body works. You must understand. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So we must learn to be together. Jesus always brought them together. And anytime the disciples were together, he taught deeper things, the mysteries of the kingdom. He taught them mysteries. He said, for them out there, it is not given, but unto you, it is given for you to know the mysteries of this kingdom. So do not see church as a traditional thing. A time is coming. We are going to do Saturday service. So that one, will you tell us we are SDA people? We are not SDA people. You see, that is why he shifted Sabbath from a day to a person. So that where Jesus is a Sabbath day. So when he came, he said, I am the Lord of the what? The Sabbath. And when you're talking about Sabbath, mean the Sabbath, no? So it's not about Saturday, Sunday, or whatever. Are you getting the whole thing? So be strong. Play a role. Find something to do. You can do something. Jesus believes in you, and we also believe in you. So, Spirit of Living God, we want to thank you for this moment and this time. We celebrate you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. This is an impartation and communion service, and Lord, we know you are here to remind people of their calling, to impart some spiritual gifts, to activate dead giftings and callings and mantles. Spirit of the Living God, show up mightily.
Jimmy free, my time for them.
ma won sise inara dani no ye shira Fawo to me no ba me ho ba na ma me ye so butenti ma eh o na ma me ye so butenti ma eh in Jesus name. Thank you, Lord. So the Holy Spirit has already started ministration. And you see, you only benefit from something more when you have understanding of it. That's one thing you must understand. There is a dimension of my operation that as I minister, the Lord begins to impart your life. The word comes to you as substance. Eyes open, understanding comes. People begin to hear in the spirit. And I want you to just be ready. Many of you will be receiving a lot of goosebumps and all those things. It's not just a normal goosebump. There is an occurrence that is surprising your spirit, that is affecting your flesh. So you must be ready for that. Hallelujah. It must not be an ordinary meeting for you. For Christ's sake, please, before you leave this place, make sure that you are not living the same. Hallelujah. Let's read a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the verse number 4, Now there are diversities of gifts. That's what the Bible says. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Are you following? Diversities of gifts, but the same word. Who gives the gift? Hello. Who gives the gifts? The Spirit. But the gifts He gives, they are in diversities. And then He said that, and there are differences in operation, but the same Lord. That means that no matter the gift you operate in or you are operating with, the giver is the Holy Ghost. Now, when it comes to the administration of the gift, the wisdom is from the Lord. So the Lord is the administrator. Why? Until we all come to the full measure and stature of the Christ. He is the standard. He is the way. He is the reason why we do the things we do. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is the purpose of God. All that God is doing on this earth is for one thing, for the formation of the Christ. And the formation of the Christ, the head is completely formed. So when He died and He was buried, when Mary got to the tomb, the towel that covers the head was folded nicely and was placed down. But that which kept the body was not folded. Why? The formation of the body of Christ is not complete, though the head is ready. Now, our conformation must not be by anybody's idea, must not be by a certain prophet somewhere, a certain popular somebody. No, it must not be by, it must be according to the head, that we may become suitable for the head, that we may, a body mass is enough to carry the weight of the head. So whatever we are doing, the architect, who is the Holy Ghost, the architect of God is the Holy Ghost. God has the idea of God, the drawing, the building of God is called Jesus. The bringing forth of the idea is the Holy Spirit. So the angel went to Mary and told Mary, the Spirit who is the architect shall come upon thee, and that which shall be framed in you shall be called a holy thing. So when it comes to the framings of God's idea, it's strictly by the Holy Ghost. So in the beginning, God created in His mind. heaven and earth. But in creation, it was without form by view. But the Spirit was waiting, because the moment the Father thinks, he knows that there must be a manifestation. And the Spirit began to move on the surface of the earth. When there was a movement, the immediate thing is that God said. So the formation of what God is thinking about is actually the movement of the Holy Ghost, which also means it's the speaking of God. So he said, the words that I speak, they are substance and they are spirit. So when it comes to the gifting, it is the duty of the Holy Ghost. But the administration, you can never operate the prophetic gift without the wisdom of Jesus. You get it wrong. That is why there are certain prophets, I don't really care where they come from, who they are, who you are, but the moment you prophesy and we carry you, my brother, you have walked in error. You are not a false prophet, you are immature prophet. You have walked in error. Why are you supposed to be carried? Carried for what? Carried for what? Carried for, even in heaven, a man saw another man in heaven and he felt he was an angel, because in heaven, the celestial body that we shall possess, it is out of this world. So when you behold it, you will think that no, this is something you have not seen before. If I have not seen before, then it must be an angel I have not seen. And this man began to bow. His name is John. The guy held him. He said, no way, you don't bow to me. You don't bow to me. So how much more you being carried? Carried for what? Being the vessel the Lord used. What about the Lord that used you? What about the Lord that used you? Everything we are doing on this earth is to point to one thing, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Until we come to the full knowledge of His Christ, we can never have the privilege of understanding the love of God. So he said that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that gives us ability to know the love of God through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He said, this thing must be with you always. This thing must be with you always. This thing must be with you always. So why are you receiving the fans here? Why are you receiving? There's a man I had a meeting with in town. God kept telling me, you are supposed to meet an old man. There's a man you are supposed to meet. And I've been looking for this man. I don't know whether he's the one I met, but I met a strange man. This man actually spoke into my life when I was in jail. And when he told me, you'll be a man of God. He's a businessman who prophesied to me, not a pastor. Businessman prophesying to me, not a pastor. And the man grew to 92 or 94 something. And this man, we can be sitting here and this man can check out to heaven like 7 times in 1 hour. He never wrote a book. I went to him and said, Papa, can we write? Can I? Because he said, don't try that. He wanted to pray for me. I went down and said, please. He started crying on me. He said, get up. It is only down to my Lord. It is only down to my Lord. He told me clearly, one of the mighty churches in Ghana here, before the formation of the chairman was appointed, God told the chairman, take your things, go to Akimodan. There is a man here, let him pray for you. When I went there, he told me, he said, you see this chair, this is where that, I almost mentioned the name of it. This is where the chairman came to sit. He said, I was surprised that my Lord said that I should pray for him. So I prayed for him. There are people like this who go to heaven 7 times in 1 hour. They have not been carried. You never cross the sun nor the stars. You are being carried here. Hey, you are being carried here. There are a lot of errors going on in the body of Christ that is causing our efficacy. Because as no matter how many pure spirit or pure water the Lord will pour upon a contaminated water, it makes it contaminated. So sometimes the delays in the reception of certain anointings for certain operation, for certain results, are delayed because our immaturity makes it so difficult for the Lord to release certain things on us. Because instead of becoming beneficial, it becomes destructive. There are some of you, when you start a church, God will never bring you a fair lady. Because you don't have the grace to stand it. He will never bring you. Because he has tested you on the park, and that first lady that came, there was a problem. So God said that you are supposed to, but Marco called the Opua. Maybe Mama sorry that. So I tell you, I brought you don't da. Because I brought four. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that the gift is given by the Holy Ghost. Number two, the operation of the gift is actually by the wisdom. The administration of the gift is actually by the wisdom of what? Of the Lord. That must be understood. And then the third thing I want you to understand here is that the operations and its diversities. Look at it. The diversities of operation. You are changing my microphone. Let me change my suit. Sorry. The diversities of the operations is by the same God. It's by Papa God. Why? Because the honor of all that we are doing. Jesus said that I cannot my own self do nothing. He said, what I see my father do is what I do. What I see my father do is what I do. And when he was living, you know what he said? He never told us that, look at the father, what he does do. He said what? Look unto me, the altar and the finisher of your faith, of your work. He said, if you shall obey me, you will do more than I have done. So the standard is him. But at the end of the day, all that we are supposed to do is to be according to what? The Father's expectation. So this is where the differences come. And this is why sometimes the church gets confused. And we don't understand why we call some people prophets, and they can stand in a church and preach 6 hours and not one single prophecy. And some prophets, and they can come and not preach one word and prophesy and prophesy and prophesy. And some prophets who are also, they will also step into the church. They will not call one name. They will not call you. No one single word of knowledge, one single word of wisdom, but declare what the future holds. Why? Because though the gifts are in diversities, it is actually the same prophetic grace, but in diversities. Now, apart from the diversities, if you did permutation, you will understand that when you put diversities, you put gifts, operations, and administration together and you perm them, you will not have the same. You may have more than about 27 different operations. Factorial, thank you. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say here? So you may meet me teaching, and the Lord may have called me as a prophet teacher, teaching. And if you don't have these understandings, you will sit in the service and never, there's a young man I spoke about, and never have any encounter. Why? Because you don't even know how to relate with that thing. You are waiting that your name will be called. Meanwhile, your name has been called in John 3:16 through the teaching. You have been broken. And whilst the man of God was teaching and talking about the love of God, he was actually mentioning your name, sending a message to you. But you don't understand the giftings, operations, and administration. So certain gifts, when they come to you, you must know. Check it and see if it's of the Holy Spirit. The way they operate it, see if it is the Father, the Lord's character, his wisdom, his way, his will. If it doesn't conform to any of them, then you push it somewhere, so that you don't carry so bold and come and stand in front of me and tell me it is the blood of Jesus. Is it his will? Is it his way? Is it his wisdom? Is it his word? If it is none of them, then it is not the Lord. Pastor, can somebody truly have the gift and get the operation wrong? Yes. You may have the gift and be operating with somebody's operational methodology. Because you saw somebody doing that thing and you like it, the way he has been using broom to fly. So you want to fly as a prophet. And you go for broom. Now you are not flying. Then the skirmishes begin. One of the men of God, a lady told me, said, you know something, you know this man of God, he was truly a man of God. Then I said, how come he's now able to find people's passport in his shoes and all those things? He said, we don't know. He was truly, and I went to check, he was truly an Assemblies of God man. So what happened? If you're not very careful, you'll be compelled by the enemy. Satan does not only appear as darkness, he comes sometimes as an angel of light. He may present himself as the bishop you would like, but may let you see the gift truly, prophesy to you, call your name and all those things, but may not administer it according to the will of the Lord. And you should know the error. When an error sets into your spirit, corruption begins. So you realize that you are growing and you are growing in errors. You are becoming disloyal. You are becoming arrogant. You are becoming proud. Today you say you are called. Your pastor wants to advise you. You don't want to listen because you went for one all night and you saw the prophet and he said that you are a prophet called in the order of Melchizedek, and you feel like everybody should pay his tithe to you now. These are the things, the errors we are making. Now let's talk about the mantle and the anointing. Anytime a man is called because there's an office. God prepares an office before he calls a man. And then he places the man in the office. Now, when we talk about a mantle, it may be a short message, but when you go home and you dilute it, you will realize something. When we talk about a mantle, the mantle is the authority that is handed over unto a man, okay, to be effective in the office. The authority to be effective in the office. I'm going to show you something. Now, the mantle, when the mantle is imparted upon a man, whether he prays or he doesn't pray, the mantle is there. He will be in the office, the mantle will be there. Now, you should actually have the consecrations that goes with the office, and have the consecrations that goes with the mantle, and then you have the consecrations that stirs up the oil, which coordinates what the mantle upon your life. I'm going to show you something, and that will make you. I know somebody. There is a call on somebody, and Jesus would want you to hear this word, and that is why I'm here today. So the person may not read his Bible, the mantle is there. He may not pray, the mantle is there. In fact, the person may be fornicating, the mantle will still be there. The mantle will be there. Why would the mantle be there? Because the scripture has made it clear that the giftings and callings of God, they are without repentance. Why? The Bible says, for God is just. For God is what? Just. For the justness of God, if he should take the mantle today, there is a grace that is with God. It is called the grace of repentance. Repentance is a kind of grace. It is birthed out of the grace of remembrance. If you cannot remember, you cannot repent. So he said that remember the point from which you have fallen and begin to do the things you used to do. There is a grace called the grace of repentance. When it comes upon a man, the man may be backslided, but he can rise up again as a giant, repent of his way, so that when the mantle is taken away, he may be useless in the hand of God, but as the mantle still remains, he can still be effective. Beloved, you may not work continuously for the mantle, but you must work continuously on the mantle, or with the mantle. So Elisha will follow Elijah, receive the mantle. He doesn't have to go and follow Elijah again. He followed him once, took up a mantle. But I'm telling you, the efficiency of the mantle is up to Elijah. It's up to Elijah. And that is why God will not take it. Because he will judge you and ask you, Eunice, I told you to do this and this. He said, Father, I fell. Yes, I saw. But I woke up and I came and I was ready to do it. But I realized that when I shook myself, my hair was gone. I couldn't pull down the assignment. The assignment for Samson was actually to finish and to judge the Philistines, to deal with them. So even when his eye was blocked after he had slept with the harlot, when he held the pillar, he still brought down the distance, killed the Philistines, dealt with them. The mantle was at work, but the anointing was not there. Follow me carefully. And many people are not able to repent properly because when they see the mantle in oppression, they feel that is all. They feel that is all. Listen to me. Elisha was a prophet before he received the mantle from Elijah. So whilst he was following prophet Elijah, the Bible said the sons of the prophet met Elisha. And do you know your father? A goat will give birth to a goat. So if a prophet has a father, a son, then the son must be a prophet. So Elisha was a prophet already. The people who are the sons of the prophet were able to see. They were able to see. That means they were able to see. They were able to see that the guy is about to check out. He followed, took the mantle. Why did he take the mantle? Because as for the office, he had been placed there. But the authority to be efficacious in the office was not yet given. And he had to take it from Elijah. Now when he got it and turned his back, he dealt with Jordan where his father dealt with it. He dealt with Jordan, but in another order. Elijah dealt with Jordan once. Elisha dealt with Jordan twice. He returned. Now watch it. He returned, and the sons of the prophets ran to kneel before him that he should impart them. Why didn't they kneel before his father? Why didn't they kneel before his father? Because every anointing and mantle is designed for a special generation. That is why when you are anointed, you must give your father the space to be the father. Let him be the father in his era. Don't disturb him. Don't break his heart. Don't let him feel like he's about to lose you. Don't let your father wake up at night thinking about you. What is he doing? Don't let your father feel you are having meetings with certain people in the church and don't pick up an Absalom spirit. Give your father the chance, because there's a last lesson of parting Jordan that he's supposed to teach you. The problem of this nation, Ghana, is because we don't allow fathers to be fathers. The reason why revival tarry is because we don't allow fathers to be fathers, and therefore sons are not giving place. We are in a nation where sons are contending with fathers. And sons can come and put fathers' messages on social media and want to correct your father's nakedness openly. Who told you God anointed angels? He anointed men. Who told you we are perfect already? He said we are just men being made perfect. So please learn wisdom in the pursuit of your calling. Learn wisdom. Because if you have chance, it's because you gave somebody chance. If you become a reference point, because you refer to someone. Learn wisdom. There is not a single person here without a call of God. But it's not everybody that will be able to manifest it because of lack of wisdom. Because wisdom is the builder of your calling. Wisdom is the builder of your calling. David had opportunity to kill Absalom as a father, but he gave him chance. But still Absalom kept messing it. So know the generation that your father is called, you are called for, and know the generation your father is called for. Help your father to be effective in this generation, because the end of your father is actually the wisdom of your beginning. The end of your father. Yes, it's a person who oyire anwo fe ne mre wa boma. She wasi. It is a what twat wasi now called man wasi poison on muwa. Na said onyina ne ho be tan ahu. When the baba onso no na oyire ai na nim ti se mamuna. Not when him. Na fe osere kra na bibibi. Unhu ne oyeye no. Ba wura fi. Say you never gave your mother-in-law the chance. Stand with your father. Fight for your father and fight with your father. No matter how Jonathan knew that David was the one to ascend the throne, he never left Saul alone. He stood with Saul, fought with Saul, and died with Saul. Today, even what people have not seen, you are the one to explain it to others about your father. As for daddy, this is how it is. Please, do you know what you are doing? The power of words is on integrity. If you soil a man's integrity, you are making his words too light to be obeyed. So to speak ill about a man of God. What you are doing to the church is that you are lightening the weight of your pastor's message to the people. So that's why the people are not being able to change, because a seed has already been planted. A test has been planted. We are not able to do anything about it. We have to allow it to grow. There are some of you, we must allow you to be and judge things for yourself. That is your deliverance. Your deliverance is in 30 years. Can you imagine? May the Lord deliver you from that mistake. Your deliverance, some of you are here, your deliverance will be the day you are dying. And you see, so this is the truth. Now you're too late. Now you're too late. That is why the Bible says, guard against the heart, for out of it flows all issues of life. Guard against it. Guard. You watch my security, my guard. If you are guarding something, it means you are guiding it also. You are guiding it. They are not the same. To guide something and guard it, they are not the same. You guard it. You guard it to protect it from any external influences. But you guide it to direct it to where it's supposed to go. Praise the Lord. Pick these wisdoms. So you look into the Bible. Manuel needed a son. Had a prophecy that God is going to give him a son. And he told him about Samson, and you're supposed to judge the Philistine, lead the Israelites and judge the Philistine. And Samson was born. Now, when Samson was born, certain things started happening. There are certain landmark events. I can't read everything. I won't read everything for time's sake. But I just want to point out certain things to you. And then, you see, as you are here, take a decision. The Lord, I refuse to be the same. After this meeting, I refuse. I will walk my calling. I will do it. May the Lord help you. Now, the whole of Samson's story started from chapter 13 of Judges. When you read the verse number 25, in his teenage age, the Bible says that, and the spirit began to move. The spirit began to move him at times, not all the time, at times, in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Astal. The spirit began to move. At that time, Samson had not yet stepped into the office because he's not matured. That means that authority is not given to people who are not matured. They will abuse it. They will abuse it. So for certain things to be achieved, what happens is that the Holy Ghost will come upon him. He will achieve it and then he goes away. It will come upon him. He will achieve it and then he goes away. Now we are talking, I'm not talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and all those things. This is actually in the Old Testament, but it still has relevance in the New Testament. Because apart from the indwelling, there is the infilling. The infilling is not perpetually upon us. The infilling actually comes by price paying. The indwelling comes by being born again. If you are born again, the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in you. But the infilling, which comes and by price paying, the more you pay the price, the Bible says that then out of you shall flow rivers of living water. That outflowing is not that which came as an indwelling. It is that which keeps coming upon you. You prayed 1 hour today, you prayed 2 hours tomorrow. You kept at it, you were consistent and persistent at it. And the feeling gets to a certain point. It gets to equilibrium. And then by the time there's another feeling, there is an overflow. And by the time you keep on feeling, now there is a flow. That is the point. We talk, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So what actually impacts people's life is not your indwelling. What actually impacts people's life is the infilling. Your effectiveness in the body of Christ is actually with the infilling. The indwelling is for your maturity. Ha ha ha. That is where he builds the inner witness, the inner voices. That is where he prompts you. That's where he makes you feel some way. That's where he releases joy, the peace of God. That is where he can let you feel very uncomfortable by a decision you are taking. It comes by the indwelling. The indwelling is for your benefit, your growth, maturity, and your ability to know the Lord and align. The infilling is for your manifestation. Your manifestation. So if you are called to be a rich man, look, be filled to the point that you will be a rich man who flows proper. So the spirit came upon Samson at certain times, moved him to solve a problem. Now, I want you to follow this very carefully. The mantle upon Samson's life is actually to be that strong man that does that wild things. Yeah. Then you come to chapter 14, the verse number 6. Samson was taking a walk to a place with his parent, and then all of a sudden a young lion came out to attack them. And then Samson quietly dealt with the young lion. How did he do it? The Bible says, and the spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Some of you, Facebook will hear it right now. Facebook, you have killed a lion, bare hands. You have raised the dead, bare hand. Ah, you prayed for somebody and you asked the person, the headache, is it gone or is it not gone? He said, it's as though it's gone. Is it gone or is it not gone? It's as though it's gone. Even as though it's gone, you went to post it on Facebook. As though it's gone. As though it's everything. One day I called one of my sons. He was at Atria Mountains. I said, hey, I called myself, my friend, are you waiting for God or we are waiting for you? Set the thing and be with him. Why do you learn certain things? Why are you doing this? Who taught you this? Did you ever hear the only time somebody knew that Elijah was praying was when he asked the son, go and check what is happening out there. Our public victories are determined by our secret prayers, our secret workings. So if you don't have a secret, you don't have public victory. You are in your secret place and you are still doing life, whatever, from Atria. Ah, but the Lord. So right now I'm talking to you from I'm at Atria. The Lord is actually visiting me mightily, and I want to prophesy some things upon you. Whatever you are, child of God, you can connect. Come on, share the link. Brother. The Bible says that, and Peter sought for him and couldn't find him. He rose up early before day, found a solitary place where he prayed. And when he had found him, he said, all men seek thee. All men. When you are in a secret place, God goes to the public. But when you go to public, God will be in the secret. He will be private from you. Hallelujah. So Samson didn't put it on Facebook, didn't tell even his family. He was with his father and mother. He didn't tell them. They went. The question I'm asking is that, why did it happen like that? It happened like that because, why did the Holy Spirit came upon him mightily? It came because that action was part of his calling, and he was walking consistently in righteousness. When we talk about righteousness, we are talking about walking according to the will of God, pursuing after the Spirit. We have the righteousness that is imparted into us as a gift, but we have the working of righteousness. Don't forget, if you are not born again, you cannot walk in that. And no man can call himself or do right if it is not under the influence of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit who knows the deep things of God and knows the mind of God at a particular time. My brother, you'll be very surprised that we come to a certain point, our unique calling will not permit you to be sitting here at this time. Though I may be preaching well, I'm not from Atwanyama, but I may be preaching well, but whilst you are sitting here making notes, the Holy Ghost is getting angry with you. Is it wrong that the ark of God is falling and I must help it? It is not your calling, it is not your duty. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says God was born. God was bored but had not committed anything. He had not said anything. He was bored. And when the guy touched it, the anger of God was kindled. The Bible says it was kindled. Kindle means that the thing was actually blazing small. When he touched it, now it's like pouring petrol in the water. So apart from general calling for us to walk righteously, there are certain consecrations which are unique calling for us because of the call of God upon our life. That I am called as a teacher, he requires me to study the Bible, to spend time to pray. He gave me direct instruction. He said, I want you to live a fasting life. So me, my life, I don't know breakfast. It is once in a while you see me take a breakfast. But you, if you dare not take breakfast, you may have ulcer and die. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? So when it comes to righteousness, we may walk in an unrighteousness which is not sin. So the Bible talks about it, defines it this way. It talks about the sin that leads to death and the sin that does not lead to death. And the Bible says that when you see your brother sin, a sin that does not lead to death, is that what? Supply him life. We have dealt with that last Friday, and we have understood that supply him life and how you have to supply the life. Paul said that, I know your prayers and your supplications shall be turned unto me the supply of the Spirit. So that is one medium of supplying life to a brother. When you see a brother doing something which is not right, by the time you leave the realm of sin that leads to death, that's not lead to death, and come to the sin that leads to death, it means that you have vacillated and you have created alliance with Satan, and now your obedience is to Satan, not to the Lord. There is that realm where your obedience is not to the Lord, but you see, you walk in that oppositeness to the scripture that says that, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. This time you are walking in a way that you lean on your own understanding and you don't acknowledge him. Though what you are doing, you are doing church, but he has not called you to do it. It's a good thing. People can be born again, people can be saved, because the moment you preach, the effect of the word is that people must be saved. So the fact that people are being saved doesn't mean he has called you to do that. Are we together here? So Samson, watch it, killed this guy, this lion, because the Spirit of God came upon him, went for a wife. Parents were with him. The Bible said that the parents told Samson that you are not supposed to be marrying from here. But the Bible said that they didn't know that it was God's opportunity to set up the Philistines. God is a mafia. God is a mafia. He told them, don't marry an a Philistine. But he specially consecrated, among the consecrations of Samson, he was supposed to go for that lady so that he can get opportunity. It's in the Bible. So that he may get opportunity against the Philistines. This is why we need to pray. Sometimes you have to spend time. Sometimes you go to God without prayer topic. Hey, Lama, Shada. Then he begins to light up his will in your spirit. Though you realize that, no, this thing, he has said that we are not supposed, but by the lighting of his spirit, I realize that there's a strong call upon me. Why would you tell a prophet to go and marry a prostitute? And then Samson went for a harlot and had a problem with him. I said, God is a mafia. So you must come to him every day, like David did, and David inquired of the Lord. It is not every day you must pursue and overtake. Sometimes he will tell you, be still and know that I am Lord. He'll tell you. So always, that is the necessity of prayer. Prayer is not just to get things and bind things and kill devils. And if it's about killing devils, just leave it for us. We have several ways of killing devils. You understand what I'm trying to say? We have killed plenty of devils. They are not dead. They are still there. You are still killing. Wake up at midnight and all the prayer you are praying is die. Anybody who does not allow my progress as I pray and clap my hand, die, 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 die. Hey! Yourself is wonderful. Amen. One day God there got married, got a wife for him. Now the people scammed him. The father-in-law scammed him. They didn't give his wife to him and suggested he marries the younger child, the younger daughter. The guy got bored. Why? Because he told him that I have given your wife to your friends. So Samson saw that the friends are betrayers, traitors. So he took a decision to deal with them. And then the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then he dealt with them. Went for foxes to come and eat the people. All those things by the Spirit of the Lord. Then, after everything, long story short, Samson then went for a harlot which God had not endorsed, Delilah. This time, it was an opportunity of the Philistines to get access to Samson and dealt in a way with Samson that didn't please the Lord. Do you know what happened? several times Delilah betrayed Samson. Samson got up and dealt with his enemies, killed them. Not once did the Bible say, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Why? The mantle was at work, but the anointing was not present. The anointing is what makes your mantle, you skillful with your mantle. For the Spirit of God is upon me, for he has anointed me to operate in certain things. Who said that? Jesus said that. The question I'm asking is that, without that scripture, does he cease to be Jesus? Hello? Does he cease to be Jesus? He doesn't cease to be Jesus. Without that scripture, he was being baptized and the heavens opened. Is it not wonderful enough? He says something. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing what is what? Good. The mantle can work for you even by reason of your enviness. By reason, that is why a man of God can open his mouth and curse and it will curse. The mantle can permit it, but the anointing will not permit you, because the anointing is a holy oil. The mantle will remain because of what? It's a call of God upon your life. So some people can put their hands in a woman's breast and be prophesying. Nonsense. And hey, or best shall my go to the baby form. So the baby and it's a channel. And your papa may be operating by the mantle. But I'm telling you, you see, the anointing, what it does, if you realize anytime Samson was about to do something which was consistent with righteousness, then the Holy Ghost comes to aid him through the form of what? The anointing. The anointing. Now, when they cut his hair, what happened? He couldn't operate again. But when the hair started growing again, he operated. Why? The mantle had not departed. Though when he was bringing down the tower and all those things, the Bible never said, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Nothing like that. So don't hide behind the mantle. Please. Don't hide behind the mantle. You may have the mantle, but to receive the anointing on the mantle, man of God, you must pray. Spend time. Please align with the necessary consecrations of your calling and walk in them. If he demands that before you honor an invitation, you have to fast 40 days. Please, if you fast 39.9 days, it will not work. What you are doing is by the mantle. I'm telling you, you'll be questioned in heaven why you didn't finish well. And you ask the Lord, like he said, when did I do that? I didn't do it well. He said, because you didn't do it like this, you didn't do it well. Where were you at the hospital? I never visited you. I was healing the sick and you are telling me I didn't visit you. He said, because you didn't do. There is a 100% requirement of heaven on our life. There is a demand of heaven upon your life. And you don't need to do it because you saw somebody doing it the way they are doing it and you are also doing it. You don't need to do it because you want to show people that you are powerful and anointed. Why are you putting towel around you behind the pulpit? Because you have seen somebody doing it. Do you need a towel? Do you need a cross? Do you need that thing? Do you need the oil? Do you need the moja? Do you need the oil? Please look for what the mantle demands. Commit to it and see what the Lord will do. Please, not to please men. Question, point of question, not to please men, but to let heaven be excited. Can you imagine what the Bible said? Jesus told his disciples and the congregation, he said that the things men celebrate here on earth are nothing in the heavens. Let us seek for what heaven jumps. Can you imagine that heaven never celebrates a dead man coming back alive? Why? Because they know they will die again. You raise the dead, you die again. But when a soul gives his life to Christ, it's eternal. These are the things heaven celebrates. What are the things that you are doing that create indelible eternal markings in heaven, that when you appear, the patriarchs must move in array in receiving you? The mantle and the anointing, they are not the same. They are not the same. They are not the same. Before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you. I gave you a mantle. Of what? Of a prophet. Then he said, go and say to this. he said, I'm a little boy. He said, oh, pray that. He said, I'm a little boy. I said, who told you? I am with you. Go and do it. They are with you is the anointing. They are with you is the anointing. Pastor, I don't understand. He said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good. For God was with him. They are with you is the anointing. Why do you think Moses said that if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not going? Does it change the fact that he was a prophet? He was a mighty prophet, the meekest on the earth. But he still demanded, let the anointing go with me. Let the oil go with me. One day he handed over, I don't know why he had to do that. Elijah had to do that. He handed over his staff to his disloyal, whatever, aid, that you should go and heal a woman. It didn't work. Because the mantle was not for that guy. If Elijah had taken Elijah's own, it would have worked. May the Lord have mercy upon us and deliver us from foolishness. Since I got born again, this has been my prayer topic. I pray it every day. Lord, deliver my heart from foolishness. Deliver my heart from foolishness. Deliver my heart from foolishness. I will not stand before the court of men. I'll stand before the court of God. The God that knows all things. The Bible says, and that day with a fiery eye. We may not need, look, the lawyer that is going to judge us is the judge. He's the judge. He has all the witness you gave him, and that witness will be against you. This whole Christianity thing, we have come to a point, it is more sensitive and a serious matter now. No joke again. We can't play around. We can't play around. One day I was at the hospital, and nurses were shouting, moving everybody. Why? Because an emergency has arrived. I stood there. I said, they are doing all things to save the body of that man. What if it comes to the salvation of the soul of a man? How urgent and agent is it supposed to be? But how do we approach it? Man of God, can you imagine having an all night? We call it prophetic all night. Also, for what shall come be a gym? Check the scripture we read, and you realize that he said the giftings are for the benefit of the body of Christ. And people clap for you. You never told the people about the Lord. The Bible said, how can they be saved if we don't send preachers? So if you have been sent among them, what did you preach? I can imagine why Jesus said he wept. The Bible said, and Jesus wept. I'm sure he still weeps when he looks down that people have gathered from north, south, and east, and I know I have an agent there. He's going to do the work. Let me supply him oil. Then you do everything, and men were able to carry you, and they never carried the Lord. What kind of waste? What kind of waste? I feel like crying. What kind of waste? I have wasted time myself too. I have stopped gymnastics in ministry. Why? Many times I used to preach, and there were people who can touch my dress like this and begin to fall down. While I was preaching somewhere, a girl was shivering. I was standing shivering, and she said, "Can I touch you?" I said, "Do." She touched. Power hit. I was happy about those days. Happy about those days. Sometimes I go back to the place I preach, and that same girl is somebody's sugar baby, the one that anointed it. People fall down. People fall down in church under the anointing. They rise up more bad. But you see, when the word slays you, you rise as a saint. You will come out as a saint. You come as a saint. While I was teaching, the Lord told me, stop the gymnastics. Oh, shall come. What word? He said, stop the gymnastics. Teach my word. Somebody's church that he has invited me. Meeting up, picking. Stop the gymnastics. Teach my word. So I told the pastor, I said, I want to, apart from this evening meeting, I want to have morning discipleship session. Anybody Episcopal church. So there are certain things hard to believe. But 80 people, then I called some of them. I said, come. The presence of God was so mighty. Then I said, lay your hands on your sister there. When she lifted her hand, the power of God hit the other woman. I said, you see, I didn't do it. Menkase could be a prayer camp. Women, when they slay somebody right now, no, they want to go and open prayer camp and they go to the bush. I feel, oh, slay and slay, no, I started to take a champon. No, the drew say, D4 by drew. No, the year to so. Mammy, prefer, the Pentecost be joined. Bebe KMC be joining a church. So, no, and him, the child of national remoyen. So, they now understood that it is. So, I thought that the church became empowered. Empowered. The following time they invited me there, do you know what happened? I was teaching. My wife was there. With my son who was here, I was teaching. Not knowing the street was full. There was cloud in the room. I couldn't see the next person. So I couldn't see outside. But whoever stood outside, according to them, were seeing inside. Cloud. And I was just teaching behind the distance. Teaching. That day, a guy who was an occult had come to sit in the church and he was about to crush me. When I made an altar call, he was the first to come. As I'm talking to you right now, he's one of our pastors in KMC. Now, the wildest thing is that the moment I entered the service and I picked the microphone, I lifted a song. And keeping God, there is no one. I lifted it and I felt something mighty break into the service. Not knowing Muslims were in the service and they started running my feet, and I was like, what is happening here? Running. When we closed the service, they came to ask me, Pastor, me be fuana. I'm sad, didn't see me who be there. Me share be there. Look, I beg you in the name of Jesus. Our God is not coward. He's not weak. He's not poor in power. Please, he needs reliable and available vessels. The reason why you are praying for healing and anointing is because you want people to know how powerful you are. Can you please change your mindset? Change your mindset. If Smith Wiggles what is dead, you will die. What is necessary is where you are going and how you'll be judged. That is what is necessary. Looking for power. They run. A people choose to someone. I will not lie to you. Choose to someone. Spoke simple gospel word. Then some of them run to the front to give their life to Jesus. That is what we are called to do. That when we prophesy, they will see Jesus. When we teach, they will see Jesus. When we lay hands, they will see Jesus. Even if we fly, they must see Jesus. All that we do, they must see Jesus. By him, all things consist, will persist, will exist. By him, all things. Hallelujah. Put your hand on your forehead and just pray for the message of God. I sense him here, sincerely speaking. Some of you feel a lot of goosebumps on you several times. Some of you have it like seven times. Shada balaba ko fele de shedo satani. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken to you, because of the words that I have spoken to you, you have been made whole, you have been sanctified, you have been imparted. Oh, are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You make my life so beautiful. And as you are, you have made me here on earth. There's nothing greater than thee. That's why I love you forevermore. You make my life, oh Lord. You make my life so beautiful. And as you are, you have made me here on earth. There's nothing greater than this, Lord. That's why I love you forever. Oh, I want more of you. Oh, Lord, I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. The more I know you, Lord, the more I want to know you, Jesus. Oh, the more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. Oh, the more I know you, Lord, the more I want to know you, Jesus. Oh, precious Jesus, I love that name. I love that name. Oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, there is no other name I know.
So I want to pray for these following people. As I was preaching, you felt these goosebumps come upon you several times and over. I want you to come forward. I just want to touch you. I just want to pray for you. You felt this goosebump comes over you several times and over. At a point, you felt like you were feeling cold. And you felt certain strange joy come into your heart. Just walk in front here. La Sheva Kebada Shendo Sanini. There is a precious name I love to hear. If you are such, come forward. Just come forward. Bible said, and he called some out. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Yeah, my whole century, my city, Namata. Hear me, haunt sanctuary, my city, Namata. I like the next part. It said, "My won't anywhere who knows, where I dream, walk on." Che che me se ma one di we hunu se era de wa wa mia o chete me se ma one di we hunu se era de ye wa Che che, me say my one anywhere wo, my one anywhere wo, sir.